The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our defender, storms rage around and within us and cause us to be afraid. Rescue your people from despair. Deliver your sons and daughters from fear. And preserve us in the faith of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight.
Jesus loves the little children of the world.
A reading from 1 Kings. At Horeb, the Mount of God, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they're seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting the mountains and breaking the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he answered, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 85 responsively. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for you speak peace in your faithful to your faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to you. Steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our Lord will yield its increase. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Romans. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is, to bring Christ down. Or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and is so justified, and one confesses with the mouth and is so saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by that time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. You know, my son Sebastian is absolutely hilarious sometimes. He, from the age of about 10 months, wanted to do everything by himself. Very independent. He never wanted Enrique and I really to feed him with a spoon. He saw us eating with forks and spoons, and that's exactly what he wanted to do. He saw his grandfather hammering nails. That's what he wanted to do. That's all fine and good, but last year he decided he wanted to swim, like we do. Here's the problem. Sebastian hasn't learned to swim yet. So we'd go to the pool, and before I could offer any instruction on putting on a life vest, he ran towards the pool, and he jumped in. Well, of course, this would mean I would go in after him. And everything turned out the way he predicted it would. He would jump in the pool, and then he would rise to the top, and lo and behold, he found himself swimming because I'm there holding him up. He had full faith that he was going to swim. And he wanted to do that because he had seen my wife and I do it so many times. Well, my brother comes into town. And he wants to take my son Sebastian to the pool with his children. I told him about his jumping in the pool, and Jeremy assures me that he has this under control. The first thing he said when he got back was, "You told me your son was a jumper, but I wasn't expecting that." He ran away even when I told him to stop. And he was in the pool for a good full 2 seconds before I got him. I told him, "I told you." Sebastian wants to do exactly what he sees you do. My son has full faith that what he sees an adult doing, he can do himself. One of his first sentences was, "Me do." That is exactly what discipleship is like. That is exactly what Peter was doing when he was on the boat and he called out to Jesus. He wanted to do the very same thing he saw his rabbi doing. In the first century, the rabbi-disciple relationship was very special. The way a rabbi picked a disciple was a tough process of determining who best could emulate him. When picking a disciple, the rabbi wanted to know if this person could do what he did. So he would choose the people that were the best, the brightest, the ones who could be exactly like him. The disciples looked at everything the rabbi did. How did the rabbi eat? That's the way they practiced eating. How did the rabbi talk to others? That's the way they would start to talk to others. How did the rabbi walk? They would try to emulate the way he walked. How did he treat others? That's how they would start to treat others. There's even a funny story of the rabbis going into the restroom and the disciples following him in because they wanted to be exactly like the rabbi. So we see with the gospel text that it's completely natural for Peter to do what he sees Jesus doing. He wants to be like his rabbi. Even in the midst of the great storm, this great windstorm, and these disciples that Jesus chosen aren't special. They're not the best of the best. They're just fishermen. They aren't the brightest. They're just normal people who've been called by Jesus. Last week, we saw how the disciples were very quick to try to dismiss the crowds because they didn't have any food. They didn't understand who they were with, even though they'd seen the miracles of Jesus. But Jesus feeds them. The disciples learn how to feed them. They didn't understand who their rabbi really was. But now, in today's text, we see Peter so willing to jump off of the boat onto the water. He sees Jesus walking on the water, and immediately he wants to see and do what Jesus is doing. This last Friday, five of St. Peter's youth went to feed, went to a TACO, Third Avenue Charitable Organization. Each of them got up early in the morning. Now, mind you, this is summer vacation. You know how hard it is to get kids up on summer vacation. And they wanted to be around the homeless, those in need, those people who had run out of money for the month. We were around people who were looking for some help. We were around the people that Jesus loved to be around. The kids got up early in the morning because Jesus took care of the poor, and so would they. See, we've read the scriptures together. We've learned about what Jesus did, and now The kids wanted to put it into practice. What they see Jesus doing, they want to do. And that's inspiring. These kids see and heard Jesus calling them, and they've answered that. They've heard the call of Jesus who says, "Follow me." And I'm inspired by that, by these kids who've answered that call. But we really don't just follow a man. Jesus was not just a first century rabbi. He's much more. In today's readings, the disciples, they cried out, "It's a ghost." And Jesus says, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Jesus says, "It is I." This phrase is a messianic identification. It's like saying, "I am." This is the same identification, the same name given to Moses when he approached the burning bush. It's the very words that God identifies himself as. And Jesus is linking himself to that. This is a big deal. This is the rabbi that the disciples are following. Jesus himself, who identifies himself as God. Then when Jesus gets into the boat, the disciples worship him. In the midst of this windstorm, they see who their rabbi really is. I have another story about my son. My little son, Isaac, he's about 9 months old now, and he's learning how to walk. He's never really crawled all that much, so what I'm doing is I'm picking him up, and I'm holding both of his hands, and what he does is he just kind of stomps his feet in front of him. He thinks he's holding himself up, but he's not. It's my grip that holds him up. He thinks he's balancing himself, but he's not. It's my balance, it's my strength, it's my steadiness and my own grip that is keeping my son up when he's trying to walk. It's only because I'm keeping him up that he really is able to stand. And he isn't afraid to walk, because he trusts in my steadiness. The disciples, they had every reason to be afraid. Fear is all over the text. The wind, it plays almost a character in this drama. It's almost like this personal force trying to prevent the disciples from getting where they're going. The very elements themselves trying to prevent the disciples from getting to shore. And in the midst of this fear, this craziness, they see this man walking on the water, and they think it's a ghost. And that is the thing when the storm comes. We start to want to walk on this water. Jesus is really the one who commands us to come out. In the storm, Jesus says, "Follow me." Peter, who is the disciple, even in the midst of that storm. How are you when the storms come? What's it like when you seem to have winds blowing in every direction, where it seems like there are forces out there that are conspiring against you? What's your discipleship look like when it's rough? Life gets hard. There are winds and storms that blow, and there's nothing that we can do about it. But when you get out of the boat, you make that leap of faith and you start to sink in the water. Peter saw everything going around him and he started to sink. But it was Jesus who was there and he lifted him up. It was Jesus holding him up. It wasn't Peter who was doing it. It was the balance, the strength, the grip that was keeping him out of that water. And that's the promise that we have, that Jesus is always there. That the one who is calling us out of the boat is the same one who will lift us up out of that water. Getting out can be scary. But we are secure that we've been called by our rabbi. Theodore Roosevelt had this very, very profound quote. He says, "It's not the critic who counts, not the person who points out how the strong man or the woman fumbles or stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the person who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends themselves in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that their place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat." So, beloved children of God, may you always strive to be like your rabbi Jesus. May you always be given enough faith to get out of the boat. May you realize that the one who has called you out is the same one who will lift you out of the water when you start to sink. And may you know in victory and defeat that God is always lifting you up, showing you how to swim, how to walk, how to live. Because God loved you so much that he came for you, calls you out, and sustains you. It's our rabbi, Jesus, whose balance and strength and steadiness is always holding us up. Always.